First of all, welcome back. Thank you, Avi.
It's beautiful. We have a mikveh. Beautiful grounds. How did we think about this earlier? But we're always using this as a mikveh.
It's Charlie's idea. I can't take any credit.
Yeah, you're the one who has it.
Can't take any credit.
Start a Shavuos. Little Shavuos? 3:30?
4. That was a little scary.
You're Makadish the whole Yamagodo.
Yeah. It's a show. It's a lot. We held hands and went in together.
Scarier than Shiloh, okay?
I think so.
Yeah?
I think so.
It's really scary. Okay. So we haven't spoken in forever. We could talk about anything and it'll be fresh. There's so many things to talk about. We've gone through a lifetime for the past 3 months. No? It's been a long time. What should we talk about?
So I saw that the Tzirif of Tammuz.
I'll go straight to Kabbalah.
Sorry. It's been on my mind, this question. You could completely say, Royce, is Havaya backwards, right?
Havaya backwards, the month of Tammuz.
And then Rosh Hashanah Li, which means that this is a greater period of Hester upon him than even Av. It's half of it, so it's sort of as you've got two Av. There's some simpler in the month. So how do you tap into this understanding that everything is completely Nistar and just go right through it and say there's no Masvir, there's no Masvir, break through that dark?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The question on the table is that the Tzura for Chodesh Tammuz, every single month has a Tzura Hashem. That's because the letters of Havaya could be arranged in many ways. So whereas Nisan is Yudke Vavke, so the other months of the year have a different arrangement. So for example, Tishrei would be Vav He Yud He. And each Tziruf of the Shem Havaya is alluded to in the Zohar HaKadosh to a Rosh Tevas or a Sofei Tevas somewhere in Tanakh. So for example, Nisan, Yud Ke Vav Ke straight, is Yismucho HaShemayim Nisag HaLaaretz. Rosh Tevas. The Tziruf of Chodesh Tammuz, which is the Shem Havaya backwards, which is Hey Vav, then a Hey, then a Yud. So the Ari, based on the Tikkun Ezayar, says that the Makor for that is that which the Megillah says by Haman, that Haman is the one who tells Zeresh, V'chol zeh einenu shayveli. All this is not worth it for me, meaning everything which I have is not worth it as long as Mordechai is around. So the last letters of V'chol zeh einenu, or I should say, zeh einenu shayveli, is the Sofei Tevas Havaya backwards. So what does that have to do with Tammuz? And as Avi's pointing out, that the Tzura of the Shem Havaya forwards implies Rachamim, and it implies Giluyim, it implies revelation of the Rabbanu Shalom. So the greatest revelation of Hashem Yisbarach took place in the month of Nisan, let's say by Yitzias Mitzrayim. So, and that brings a tremendous simcha to the world. Yismucho Shemayim Esagil Aretz. That the whole world is rejoicing because the Makos were in Shemayim and Aretz, and the whole world was able to see that which is Baruch Hu introduced himself to the world by the Makos in the time. Over here, Tammuz, which has the Shem Havaya going backwards, implies Din, and it implies, therefore, Hester Panim. So the whole Nes of Purim took place during Pesach, but it was this man of Hester Panim. And that's why Haman is the one who says so. These are the words of Haman, because we know it's called Megillas Esther. Esther is a lashon of concealment. The Kadosh Baruch Hu concealed himself. So the question, therefore, is once again, Avi. What was the question again?
How do you break through that understanding that this is a month of Din, and how do you mount it?
Okay. So it's a Zman of Din, and so really it's a general question, not just about Tammuz, it's really about the entire Tkufa of Bein HaMitzarim. Is that Bein HaMitzarim is a Zman of Hester Panim, it's a Zman of Din, and so the question therefore becomes, how do we survive? How do we survive in the month of Bein HaMitzarim, in this Tkufa? What's the Avaida? And what are we to learn from the Tzir for the Chodesh? So what's really nice about this question is that it's not a question which is limited to the Yemei HaMetzarim. It's a question which is every single day in this Tkufa. Because the Tkufa which we're in right now in the world and in world history, especially during these past few months, is one of Hester Panim. So, whereas in the Partsuf, if you can call it that, of the Shana, of the year, you would say that if there's Gili Panim and Hester Panim, you would say Gili Panim is in Nisan, Hester Panim is in Yemei HaMetzarim. The same thing is true in the years of the world, the Hainu from Sheshis and Bereshis, that there are different Kufas. So for example, when Klai Yisrael left Mitzrayim in the month of Nisan, so they went through a period of Gili Panim, that there was Man, and then there was the Anani HaKavod, and there was Nisim, there was Kabbalah Satzayra. That was a Tkufa in Jewish history, a world history of Gili Panim. Right? So that you could say it was a Tkufa of Pesach. That as long as Moshe was around, and even in the times of Yeshua, you would say that it was Pesach there. We're living in times now, in the world for the past 2,000 years, of one long Tisha B'Av. Of one long Hester Panim. That with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which took place on Tisha B'Av, brought upon us a period, which you could say about it, is one giant period of Yemei HaMitzrayim. Now, Mitzrayim comes from the word Mitzrayim. It means that we're back in Mitzrayim. That when Moshe took us out of Mitzrayim, and the purpose of that was to build the Beis HaMikdash, like we say on the night of the Seder, we say in the Dayenu, Ilu Hotzianu Mitzrayim, and we conclude that 15 stanzas later with that he brought us there to Yisrael, Ubana Lano Es Beis HaBechira, that the whole tachas of Yitzias Mitzrayim was in order to build the Beis HaMikdash. Like B'nai Yisrael said at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, at Kiryas Yamsuf, they said, Tivyeimo v'sitayimo v'hanachal asra, right, bring us to the promised land, bring us to the mountain, which is Har Moriah, Mikdash Hashem, karnei yadecha, to build the Beis HaMikdash. The whole purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim is to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's not just to take us out of servitude, it's to bring us to somewhere. We have to come to a place where there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. The whole purpose of creation is Beis HaMikdash. In fact, Chazal say that the Pasuk Yisbuchu HaShemayim V'Sagi La'aretz, which is referring to Nisan, is a Pasuk which refers to the building of the Mishkan and the building of the Beis HaMikdash, that Hashem had such a joy in the building of the Mishkan and the building of the Beis HaMikdash like He had at the time of the creation of the world. So it's really a question which is not just limited for this time period. It's a question which is a very broad question because it's really asking us, what's the Avodah now? What's the Avodah during this time in world history? Which will be very similar to the answer, which is going to be, what are we to take from this time period of Man's Son? Any questions on that?
That's the question, right? The question is now, it seems as if our whole Avodah is upside down.
What do you mean?
The way in which we practice, the way in which we connect, all those things, now we have like a little bit of like a taste of it, and we can't believe we get to like it. The whole way in which we live our lives is now disrupted. So then what's the avoda? What's the avoda of the yid now? Is it to fight back to get to where we were? Or is it to understand that the world has changed and the avoda the Yiddish is asking of us is changing?
Yeah.
Pick me. So, I think it's very difficult. I think it's one of the greatest matanas that we've ever gotten. The fact that we were forced into our homes, had more time, more hisbodidus, more thinking about what we were davening, more preparation, more time with those that we were locked up with, which was hopefully in most cases family. There were relationships that were formed. There were feelings that you had time for. There were thoughts about a Kadosh Baruch Hu and the world and what was going on that you had time for, that you didn't feel rushed and had to go through the next thing. We were so removed from so... I mean, I worked most of the time. I was able to because we were remote. But we were so removed from so many of the daily set timed aspects of our lives that we had time to open our neshamas to... or neshamot, I would say, to the way that we really can and want to feel, and what the neshama wants them. Neshama is always doubting. Neshama is always crying. Neshama is always mesimcha. We just have to let it all out. And it was hard. It was one of the greatest gifts I've had in my life. So grateful. I mean, that's one man's take, but yeah.
That's a very pernicious way of looking at it.
But based on that thinking, we shouldn't be going back to shul. We shouldn't be going back to our lives. We should be staying in the world of pernicious. Right? We're living in.
And part of me says that totally. Part of me, having gone back to shul, having been back in minyanim or backyard minyanim, there have been some challenges that I'm needing to work much harder on to overcome in terms of holding on to the gift that I've been given, or that we've been given, in order to bring that into the places where the Rebbe Shalom wants to be working. He wants us in shul. He hasn't said, okay guys, shul is over now. Shul is always on, needs to be on, but in a different way. So out of the avodah is to bring that back. There are people that I've observed in shul who have that in shul that I got finally, you know, by being at home. They've done this. They are in shul in that way. No, so you got to go back to shul, but you got to bring it with you. We were shown what that can be like. So, you know what? When you know how to, pick up gold from the street. But there's gold in shul also but you just haven't seen it. You have to learn how to pick up the gold in shul. Am I directionally correct in here, or I mean that's how I feel about it.
So let's expound upon what you're saying. So what we're basically saying is that there's going to be points in our lives, from beginning to end, and also in different kufas of the year, where there's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be aliyahs and yeridahs. There's going to be what the Sfarim called times of godless and times of katness. And that's something which is a chok in the Bria. And because it's a chok in the Bria, it's something that every single person goes through. Every single part of creation goes through ups and downs. Not something which is avoidable. It's built into the fabric of Maisa Bereishis. There are seasons, right? There's going to be cold seasons, there's going to be warm seasons, there's going to be times where things are growing, there's going to be times where things are not growing. There's going to be night, there's going to be day. There's going to be the right side, there's going to be the left side. And that's something that was not going to stop, so to speak. The Zman of Godless and the Zmans of Katnas need to complement each other. Very much like a neshama and a guf. Neshama is revelation, neshama is godless, the guf is katnas, the guf is concealment. And like you said, and like Charlie was pointing out, is that there's something very sweet about being in the private zone, but then the Rebbeinu Shlomo is calling us out and we can't stay in. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants is a fusion of these two things. That they complement each other, and we have to know how to use them in a way where the shlemus is being brought out from the both of them. Memela. Let's say a person is in his home, and he's davening, and like you said, Moshe, that for davening b'yechidus for 3 months, you're able to be kona a certain nekuda in tefillah, which you felt that you wouldn't have been able to acquire else, you know, otherwise. So now that we have to be called back into shul, so we have to take that nakuda, that pinyistik nakuda, that private yechidus, and to bring it into the shul. In fact, the Yisod B'Shor Shavayda writes that when a person goes into shul, he's very self-conscious about how he's davening, and he's looking at the other people around him davening. Really, the only two places that a person's eyes should be during davening is either in the siddur or at the tzaddik in the shul. There's an avoid in chassidus is to learn how to daven by observing how a person davens. If you respect that person as a person who is a maven in davening, right? There's something to be said about watching a person who's an expert do his craft. It's something which is very delighting. It's very enjoyable to watch, and it's something which you learn from. So as a kid, you know, you said like going to the pizza store and to watch the pizza guy make pizza and to throw it up and to catch it, right? Not that you want to be a pizza man, but you enjoy watching a person do his expertise. You like to go to a basketball game and to watch these guys do what they do because they're experts in what they do, and it's entertaining. But not that you're going to necessarily learn from that, but there's something which is very geschmack about that. Alachas kama v'kama, when you're going to a shul and you're going to places where you know that there are people there who have learned about davening, who know how to daven, know what davening means, not that we can try to replicate that, because shuckling very hard, not that shuckling means anything, but by watching the way the tzaddik closes his eyes, or the way that he holds the tzitzis, or the way that he takes three steps back or three steps forwards, whatever it is, these are not things to learn from. We don't learn from the chitzonius of how a person davens. Just like you can't learn how to learn by sitting next to a Talmud Chacham learning from the niggun which he sings. You're going to say, oh, if I sing that niggun too, so then I'll also learn how to learn from the niggun. It must be the niggun. It's ridiculous. There's either two places, either it's in the sitter, or your eyes are closed, or you're watching somebody daven because you're trying to learn by tapping into the regesh, to the hergesh, to the pimius of how that person is interacting to the Ribbono Shel Olam. There's something that a person has a chush to be able to feel, to be margish, like there's something going on over here. And by observing a tzaddik and how he davens, and how a person doesn't have to be a tzaddik, but a person who focuses his attention on learning how to daven, there's a kinyan that a person can make in it. So, getting back to the original point, we come into shul and we're very self-conscious. But we have to learn how to be mevatel that. And the Eitzah that Yisod HaShorash HaAvodah says is that when you come into shul and you look around and you see that there's 10 people plus, the Eitzah is like you're in a forest. You're in a forest and everybody else around you is trees. That's what he said. The Kreyach of Dimyon is something which is very important when it comes to Avodah Hashem. We're living in a world now where the whole world is being conquered by Dimyon. We're living in the world of Disneyland, yeah? Everything is Dimyon. This is the world of movies, this is the world of television. This isn't a world anymore of the intellect. This isn't the world anymore of spirituality. People are not interested in these things. It's a huge chiddush that a person in times like this should want to live a meaningful, growing life. It's just not in style. But we have to learn from the Velt how they're so obsessed with the Kayach of Dimyon. How people will spend so much money to go to shows and to places and to watch something which is just fantasy. People spend so much money and time on video games involved in conquering empires and killing bad guys, which is not even happening. And we like to tell you the sports games, like, I could be Michael Jordan. You're not Michael Jordan. So you could play on the controls, but you're not. You're just caught up in the world of Dimyon because they've taken the whole musig of Dimyon and made it so real-like that it's to a person who's a Baal Seichel, it's literally an insanity that a person can be so caught up in his imagination and doing what he's doing, like it's as if it's real. It's as if it's real. And you're getting a geshmak from that as if it's real. A person who's a Baal Seichel, he sees what's real and what's not real. What's real is real and that's emes, and he has a sipuk from that. And what's not real is a sheker. And if it's a sheker, then the Torah says, Midva sheker tircha. Stay away from sheker.
Even in that world of sheker, what you're saying is there's a sheker even in our avoda. When you walk into a shul and you're waiting for the geshmak, you walk into a shul and without even maybe realizing it, you're davening, but you're on. Even in the emes of sheker.
Oh my gosh, even in the emes of sheker. By the tzaddikim, they always question themselves when they daven and they're involved in any sort of dveikus, whether or not they were experiencing emes dveikus or sheker dveikus. And that's why you find by the madmoirim that they said sometimes such harsh words about, let's say, other tzaddikim, about other practices, about this tzaddik, I did think. They were searching, and they are still searching, for such a pure emes, such a pure emes, that it shouldn't have any sheker at all associated with it. Like, if you bring certain people into Eish Kodesh, okay? And I love Eish Kodesh, I'm not saying anything negative, Chas V'Shalom. If you bring certain people who have such a tshuka for the emes, and they come in, and they're looking around the room, and they're like, this person is getting all wrapped up in the davening because it's a really geshmak niggun right now, and he hasn't heard that niggun in like 8 months, and he made a really good, this is one of my favorite niggunim, and that's why he's really into it. By an emesic person, that's puzzle. So what, you could have been in a baseball game and they played the niggun, you'd be really into it. So, what are you into? You into the davening? You into the niggun? Where are you? What's making you... So, oh, you think you have Vegas right now? You think that's Vegas? You just like the song. It reminds you of when you were in camp. They used to sing that song, Achinu, yeah? They sing Achinu in the shul, and it brings you back to that place. I'm like, oh, wow, such a good davening I'm having, such a good davening I'm having. It says how they need to do with davening.
Can I tell you a story where I got hit over the head with this? Yeah. So, I have Rub, who beats me up every once in a while. So, I've been trying to get back to Aish for so long. So, at one point he goes, why do you have to get back to Aish? And I said, the davening. He goes, I'm telling you, on me, you can just daven in your house. And I said, the davening. So, he says, really? I said, I miss my friends. I just miss my friends. Like, I miss my guys. Like, he's like, fine. He goes, miss your friends. He goes, but don't think that what's dry... Okay, davening is beautiful, but at the end of the day, be a person that says, I miss my friends. And then say, go for your friends. The Abish will forgive you for having friends. But it's exactly what you're saying, which is, if you were not smart enough to be mavdil, ben friends, ben niggin, to ben tefillah, then we think that we're the davening, but what we're really doing is hanging out with our buddies and listening to great songs and along the way hoping that we get a little bit more of an extra dance at a Rebbe and you know that like you know Mari Rav and Abasoy them go quicker. You know what I'm saying? Like it's but practically, how can you really see it without living your life always not depressed? How can you see it without a mirror? Because if you're always looking for it, then you're taking the geschmack out of everything. Because wherever there's geschmack, it's suspect. So by definition, geschmack is suspect.
Right.
Which means if you're never fully enjoying geschmack, you may wake up one morning with MS and just be blown out.
That's right. That's a very tricky avoda. And like Charlie's pointing out, at b'shas maisa, there's different ways of doing it. But I would just say, b'shas maisa, don't passel anything. If you're having a good davening and you're joining the nigunim, you're joining the chevashav, that's also dvarim shebikdusha. It's just that there has to be a bikush and a bir which is taking place to be ma'avdol bein toiv l'toiv. And again, like we've spoken about many times, like in the world of greatness, even good is possible, right? The person has to be searching for greatness and striving for greatness. And don't forget that the avoda which takes place for davening takes place before you come to shul. Meaning your davening in shul is going to be only as good as you came into shul. Meaning, if a person is not thinking about davening during the day, and he's not a person who's vanis fila dikayid, and he comes into the show and he's expecting good davening, don't have such high expectations. Because only you will only perform as well as you prepared for. Like, if you're playing in a... I'm starting to give all these examples. You really rubbed off on me. If you're about to play in a championship game, right? Don't show up to the championship game thinking you're not having a good game if you didn't practice 2 weeks before. If you know you're going to have a championship game, you have to prepare for that. If you know that there's going to be a Friday night davening every week, so don't start to think about it while you're putting on your Shabbos shirt. You know, Friday morning already, you have to be thinking about, no, Shabbos is coming. And I have to prepare for myself for a very strong davening. I have to prepare myself for a Shalosh Shuddos. For Shalosh Shuddos is the highest part of the day. So, B'shas Maisa, a person shouldn't passel anything. Because everything here is good, and it should be enjoyed. And even Cheveshaf, Mayedidus Mishkan Isayach, there's so many good reasons to come to shul. One of them is to see friends, is to see other Yidden. And all these things contribute to Ashras HaShchina. Right? That's one of the reasons why it's important to look forward to coming to your friends, not just for the Cheveshaf, but davening in a shul is major. Davening with 10 Yidden is major, because the Shechina comes down when the 10 Yidden. Having a place to go in a shul, or not coming to a shul, having a minyan, you could still have a good davening, but like the Shechina comes down. There's 10 pita shechina sharia. The shechina is there. That the whole inyan is the shechina kedusha. Thus is everything. So we would say practically, we would say like this: b'shas tefila, b'shas avoda, take everything in and enjoy that, and get a thrill from that, and appreciate that even if I had to replicate even an Eish Kodesh davening at a baseball game, it wouldn't come close. It should be pashut to a person that if he has to go watch the Yankees, or if he has to go to a Friday night davening, he should say, if he's not yet at a place, we should say that I choose Friday night davening over a baseball game. Then a person has to ask himself the following question: where am I? Where am I? How can I have been davening for so many years and yet not be at a place that I would choose to have a Friday night davening over a baseball game? How could that be? That should be pashut. Not just for Ben Aliyah, that should be pashut. It should be pashut for every Jew who davens. that you should be at a place where if you had a choice between Yankee Stadium or Friday night davening, then he should choose Friday night davening. Come on, we've been davening for long enough to know that we have to have come somewhere. I think if a person doesn't feel that way, then he has to say either I'm not working hard enough for my davening, I'm davening in the wrong place. Because it Shabbos is mechayiv that. Friday night is mechayiv that. So the post avoda is that a person can question himself and ask after the fact. After the fact, he can ask himself, he could say, what can I do to be mevarer this avoda? To make it so that what I'm really getting out of this is a dveikus, which is more concentrated on the tefillah aspect of it. Not to the exclusion of the other things, but the tzaddikim are looking for a type of an emes, which is a very, very pure emes, which if we could just speak about it for a moment, it's a very big sugya. It's an emes which Hashem Yisbarach himself has to give you. It comes from Hashem. So it goes like this. We'll just say the words. There are so many levels of emes. There's so many dargas of emes. The emes sheva emes is that when the Ribbono Shel Olam gives it to you. Because if a person feels that he is contributing in the process, so then if he's contributing and it's man-made, if it's somewhat man-made, then it's going to be, by definition, flawed and incomplete. That's what Einol Milvado means. Einol Milvado means there's nobody else other than him, right? There's a certain hakar b'shas avoda that a person has to have,
he's excited to go to Walmart. He just was in line, but we'll...
What? Was that for us?
No, well, I wanted him to go to another school.
Ah, I think it's that too. So when a person is involved in the avoda and he feels b'shas maisa, I want to say b'shas maisa afterwards. If he feels like he had a good davening, he's really proud of himself that he had a really good davening, that's the type of a feeling which needs a biru. B'shas maisa, go for it. But after davening, the avoda is that whatever you think that you're responsible for, you have to passel that. That's what's called the Sata Milfanenu Miacharenu. We spoke about this recently. The Sata Milfanenu makes us think that we shouldn't do anything because it's not about us anyways. Oh, who am I? I'm a nothing. I've been a garnish. Why do I have to? What is my preparation going to do anything? And the Sata will make you think, oh, everything is a Ribbono Shel Olam anyways. Right? So you have to say, no. I'm going in. I'm going in strong. I'm going to work hard. I'm going to put everything I got into it. And that's how you go in. The second it's over, the Sata Miacharenu comes. It's like, oh, you had such a good davening. Look at you. You were the star up there. Everybody was so good, lifted because of you. And you really struggle in the Yerushalayim Yircha, and you really made it happen this time. No. It's all Ribbono Shel Olam. You made a good deal. You had a good week this week in business. Got a good paycheck. Afterwards, you're like, I worked hard. That's what you felt like. You come home. You take it to the bank. It was all Ribbono Shel Olam. It wasn't me. That's the game you have to play with the Sata. Because he's going to chop you on either end.
If you don't play that game first, you lose in the front end. If you go in with the perspective of that it's you, don't you get caught on the front?
So here's the thing. You have a roishim. That's a very important point. You have a roishim. You know where you're going. That's the thing. You know where you're going. You know where you're heading. You know the destination. You have a feeling left over from the last time you did this that it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam. But you can get caught in a trap that if you know it's all the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're not going to put in the work. So there has to be a roisham, a rishim with the kedusha, which is left over from the last avodah you did. Knowing where you're going, you know the destination, but you have to look at the sata straight in line and say, I'm not going to let you take me down now, because you're going to make me think like a hoy bina bachshavas that everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam. I know where I am right now. I'm a low guy, and I got to get in. I got to use vayigbal libo b'dayach Hashem. I got to go strong into this.
Noach Weinberg once told me a maisa. They told us it's a famous maisa. About this yisoid, I think maybe they could. I found it to be very insightful. He said, imagine as if somebody told you, go move this mountain of sand over here. It's a big mountain. And you're like, you're crazy? And they go, here, shovel. And you look up and you're like, are you out of your mind? It's a mountain. And you put the shovel into the ground and you hit a rock. And when the rock moves, it's some foundational rock, and the mountain comes down. So he says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to move the mountain. If you think you move the mountain because of your shovel, you're in La La Land. But if you don't put the shovel in, the Abishah can't save you. But The challenge is knowing that I have no chance at moving this mountain. But I don't care, because I have to do... I'm only doing this because he's making me, but I don't think I'm going to actually do it. Like, I don't think I have a definite living in this space. So, like, I think what you're saying is, we have no chance at really davening. Like, we have no shot at, like, davening. Like, davening is legitimate, right? So we come to davening with our shovel, with our, you know, metame mind and our lips that aren't been washed, and we're like, I guess, here we go. It's not going to really work out, but I'll do everything I can to make it work out. And then maybe the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'll take it from here. So it's really you, but it's really him.
Yeah.
And you could think it's you that hit the rock, or you could say, wow, he really took care of the mountain.
Yeah, for sure. That's a very good mashal. But a person who's a Bar Seichel will know that, like you said, that even when he like takes a shovel in his hand, it's like a chok almost. Like, right. The fact that we have to do any avodah whatsoever to us could be like a chok. In fact, it's one of the secrets of Paraduma. What does it mean, the chok of Paraduma? The chok of Paraduma, one of the interpretations of what that means is that the fact that we have to do any hishtalus in this world, that a tzaddik knows that everything is the Ribbono Shel Olam and it's Eino Novado anyway, so what do I have to do anything for? That is what the Bechinas Chok Paraduma. It's Chok Paraduma. You can't really explain it. Such a person, that's why the Torah says, V'yikhu Eilecha. Hashem says to Moshe, this Paraduma is for you. This Paraduma is for you. Why is it for Moshe Rabbeinu? What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu understood the Paraduma? Everybody else didn't understand the Paraduma. The reason why Moshe understands Paraduma is because really it's only a Chok for Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who understood. After the Chet HaEgel, Moshe, only one who understood. Everybody else fell from the Chet HaEgel. Nobody else. So by Moshe Rabbeinu was a chok. This really answers the whole question. It's really next week's parasha. It also pertains to this week's parasha. To Korach, because the Medrash Pliya says that Korach looked at Paraduma, and that's why he went off the Derech. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was a chok to. Why? All of a freshman asked, why is it a chok? Rashi says, quoting Moshe Darshan, that Paraduma has a very good reason. There was a Chet of the Egel, and so he's supposed to bring a Paraduma. So why is it a chok? Why is it more of a chok than any other korban? Let's see, you did an aveira on Shabbos. You have to bring a chatas. Why is that not a chok? So if you mess up with the cheder egel, you have to bring a paraduma. Why is that a chok? The pshat is, you're right. So everybody who was chote with the cheder egel, and they fell down from the place of atarei seladas, so for them it wasn't a chok. So who's it a chok for? Only for Moshe. The yikhu elecha, Rashi says, only for you, Moshe, take a paraduma. It's a chok. Because for Moshe Ben, who wasn't involved in the cheder egel. So Moshe is looking at a world of Eino Novada, right? And he's wondering to himself, so what do we have to do all this? What do we have to do all this? And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he looked at the menorah, he's like, you want me to make a menorah, right? How am I supposed to make a menorah? So what did Moshe do? He took it and he threw it into the fire, and Hashem made it. That's what you do. If you're living in a world of where that everything is Ribbono Shel Olam, so then you don't do anything. You don't have any yadayim of your own. That's why it says Moshe Avdi. Why is it called an Eved? Because in Eved, Chazal say, Yad Eved, Kiyad Rabo. Doesn't have any a dime of his own. He asked me to do something, what am I supposed to do? That's what it means to be honest with Mikoldom. Why was Moshe honest with Mikoldom? He accomplished so much. Teretz is that everything which he did, he didn't say, I did this. Everything was Ribbono Shel Olam did that. So by Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't live in a world of before and after. So we can live in a world of before and after because when we do things, we actually feel like we're doing something. Imagine being somebody like Moshe, that even when you're doing something, you feel like you're not doing anything. So why do you do it? Because it's a chok.
He tells you.
Yeah, if he says to do it, he does it. That's why every time the Torah says Moshe, there's something, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Kasher, how are you telling me everything? Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. What do you mean? I put on tefillin too, Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Yeshua. What's the big shvach of Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe? That says Moshe only did it because it was a tziva. He couldn't even bring himself to do it if it wasn't a tziva. You're asking me to do something? That's, you can't write about Yeshua Rubens in Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Yeshua.
Such a tremendous insight. That explains so much about how a tzaddik can eat an apple and say, I'm not eating it, even though he's getting hanah from the apple, because he's eating the apple, even if he needs to eat the apple to live, he's eating the apple because his ratzon is, I'll eat the apple, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu's commanding me to eat the apple. Like, a tzaddik has no, he's, in the business world we call it being cold to a deal. Anytime you're about to do a transaction and you're too excited, you have to walk away. In the world of poker, someone explained to me, is called, I think it's called tilt. I don't know if anyone plays poker, but someone explained to me this yesod. When a guy's sitting around, you ever see like high stakes poker? You ever watch whatever? This thing called high stakes poker. And guys are playing poker at the highest level. So someone's playing to this Yusayd. Tilt, I think it's called tilt, is when you're like so pumped that you know you're going to win the hand. As soon as you feel that, you have to disengage. Because it's too much me, it's too much anechia. So now you're it's such a high level of judgment that you're blinded. So you may make a move or you may give away a tell. So I think I'm hearing you say is that you have to get to a level where you are so out of the picture that even things like eating and drinking and working, you're only doing it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling you to do it, even if you get the hanoi you get is totally irrelevant to the fact that you're doing it. So that it's mamish everything, you're like almost like a robot just trying to follow the commands of the
Hashem. That's right. Yeah, and it seems, that's why it's called a chok, and it's something which is very hard for the sikha to understand. It seems so counterintuitive for a person that after everything which he did, and all the madrigas, and all the reasons, and everything that he feels that he has accomplished something, to go ahead and to pass all that, and to just be like, no. Only reason why I really want to get to the nakuda of what I just did was kashatziva Hashem es maisha. See, you're taking everything away from me. But that's why it's a chok, because when you take away everything from me, you're left with just an unadulterated dveikus with Hashem. We have to. That's why emunah is associated with chukim, because there's something. There's an akuda of emes. There's an akuda of emunah, which is so pure, that a person who has a cheshik for the emes is driven towards that nakuda, and he doesn't allow himself to get distracted from anything else. He's going into a place where there's like nothing of me, But a person is going to plunge into that and to disqualify everything which he does, to be left with that nekuda ketana, which is, I'm doing this only because Rabbanu Shalom told me so. Scary, right? Scary to be left with that. We're talking about very big madrigas, obviously. But that's the birur which can take place after a person is done with whichever he did. That peshas maisa, you're involved in the pre-avoda, avoda, which is getting worked up. And I have to put in something. We're not Moshe Rabbeinu that we're going to do because it's a chok. But the post-game of Oda, though, is that, no, I have to strive to be like Moshe. I have to disqualify everything which I did to think that I contributed towards that. Maybe a little bit scary. But that's okay. That's what it means, Mesiras Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh means that I'm taking myself out of the picture. I'm doing something for the Baruch Shalom.
I think it was in the Shabbos year, one of them. There was a mimer that says that the avodah for Shabbos do all the preparation, and then right before Shabbos have that anava, and that is the actual preparation for Shabbos, that anava.
Very
is
good.
That the same concept?
Yes, it's the same concept. So Josh asking the following question. Al pi chassidus, the way to prepare for Shabbos is as follows. You work a whole week getting ready for Shabbos. Everything is Shabbos, everything is kulo Shabbos. And Yom Rishon b'Shabbos, Sheni b'Shabbos, Shlishi b'Shabbos. Come Friday afternoon, you look at all the hachanas that you did for Shabbos, and you tassel them all. And you're very embarrassed to come into Shabbos, and that's how you come into Shabbos. That's how you come into Shabbos. So Josh is asking, is that the same thing? Is that what we're describing? The answer is yes. So then what Josh is implying, though, is that, wait a second, that's not post-game, that's pre-game. But the teretz is that when it comes to Shabbos, though, Shabbos, coming into Shabbos is post-game. Meaning, the only way to get into Shabbos is with this ticket. This is the key. Meaning, everything which we're describing until now is like a Shabbos nekuda by every single mitzvah. Shabbos means you have to rest from malacha, right? So you can't rest from malacha before you do it because you wouldn't come to do it. So the only way that Shabbos kicks in is that after you do the mitzvah, tell me if this needs explanation, I'm kind of running through it. While you're doing the mitzvah, it's not Shabbos yet. After you finish doing the mitzvah, that's where Shabbos comes in, right? It means Shabbos from the malacha. So you have to passel the malacha, you have to disqualify what we're doing, and you have to give everything, all the credit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how we go vital. That's how we're able to take away what we just accomplished properly. But Shabbos, see Josh, Shabbos is that nekuda. So the only way to get into Shabbos is with that. You can't come into Shabbos without that. I mean, normally to get into the mitzvah, you need to have that certain gaiva, and then after the avodah is done, you can disqualify it. There is an akuda of that Shabbos when you're doing it, but if before you do it, the Maisa, you're passing yourself and you call Shabbos too early on the mitzvah, then you won't do it. Shabbos not like that. You're going into Shabbos no matter what, right? And the only way to get into Shabbos is by having that. So if the moment before Shabbos, you haven't had the busha to disqualify everything which you did, then it's like you're showing up to the dock and the boat is already left. Does that make sense?
Sounds like it's a post-pre-game type of thing. Like, yeah. You have to do it to not do it.
Post-game is on the week. It's post-game, it's not pre-game.
Well, he's pre-game relative to Shabbos.
But there's no game of Shabbos. Right? Shabbos is a state of being, not a state of doing.
That's right.
Only time you ever worked was till the second before Shabbos starts. Once Shabbos starts, whatever you prepared before Shabbos, you eat on Shabbos. Whoever you are when you walk in, that's who you are.
That's right.
So it's really a post game.
Yeah.
This is a celebration party. Whether you're on the winner's locker room or the loser's locker room, just to make sure we keep sports at every 10 seconds.
Yeah. That's really the Nakuda. It's the being versus the doing. That's right. Because that's what I meant to say. When you're in it no matter what. Like it's just the Shabbos is here. The Zman has come. So then how you come into Shabbos, how you come into Shabbos.
But it seems like it's even a madriga to have a little bit of embarrassment, though. Like, meaning that's already a preparation.
By Shabbos, you mean?
When you walk into Shabbos and you say, I've done all this and I got nothing. That's the madriga. The madriga is the more I uncover the preparation for Shabbos, the more I realize how in the world am I prepared for Shabbos. If we walk into Shabbos like, we got this, I shower within a half an hour, like I'm good to go, I bought my favorite, you know, snacks, like, I hope we've got a great niggun tonight, and Zehu, the cluelessness is, the issue is the preparation is what brings out the recognition of the separation of how far you are from what Shabbos really is. Right, because that's what Hashem can save you. He can't save you if you think you're doing well.
That's right. Yeah. Shabbos, the Zohar says, is the letters boshes. That the ikar nekuda of Shabbos is the busha of Shabbos. The busha, it's like a person who has to come to Mount Everest and he has to climb up Mount Everest, and he comes and he's preparing in advance, right? And he has all of his like his primitive tools. He's like, yeah, I've climbed before. I've gone to like these rock climbing, you know, places where indoors, and you're like, yeah, I can climb on Everest. I practiced before. I know how this goes. And you show it to my eyes and you're looking at it, you're like, this is mammoth. This is so huge. There's no way I can climb this thing. That's what it is. Like Shabbos is like, there's a musa called Shabbos, right? Shabbos is like, it's such a reality of Eima and Pachad and Yira and Dvikas. It's so huge that you think that for the Torah which you learned this week, or the Chesed you did this week, and all the Hachanas which you did by going to the market and all the Chesedim, like you're standing in front of Shabbos, you're looking at Mount Everest. And you're like, what? This is what I have to go into right now? That feeling that a person has before Shabbos comes in, where he's like, how am I supposed to get into this? How am I supposed to climb this thing? That Nakuda is what takes you in. Because Baruch Hu says, I'm bringing you in. That's what it has to be like.
So here's the interesting follow-up question, that in that same Maimer, it says that during any other mitzvah, we're the ones that bring down the Shekhinah. I don't know the exact question, but that's essentially what it says. But by Shabbos, if you believe that you're bringing down the Shekhinah, then you're a Chayav Misa. So it sounds like that this Nekuda of Shabbos is really that MS, Shiva MS that we're supposed to use for the other mitzvahs.
That's
and
it.
Even though the Maimer said that during other mitzvahs we're bringing down Shekhinah, we're supposed to use that idea that you sort of Shabbos,
that's
to
right.
Use that for all the other mitzvahs.
That's
that
right. Do. This is the Nekuda of Shabbos by all mitzvahs. Like we say before we do mitzvahs, we say, but that all, like, we'll say, like, the Shem Yichud, to do this mitzvah of Shabbos, like, with all the other mitzvahs, Shekhudimba, with all the other mitzvahs which are nichlal in this mitzvah. Every single mitzvah has an akud about it, which could be applied to every other mitzvah. Shabbos is the essence of Emunah. That's what Shabbos is. That's why on Friday night, how do we go into Shabbos? We say, Boi b'shem atar esbala, toich emuni am skula. That's how you go into Shabbos. And al pi halacha, when you say, boi kala, you're makabel Shabbos. That's it. You're in Shabbos. But how do you go in? Say toch emuna. A person's Shabbos will only be as lichted as his emuna is. That's how you get into Shabbos. You can't get anywhere else. That's the only ticket. You can't show up with a different ticket. It's not going to take a different ticket from you. The ticket to get into Shabbos is emuna. That means that you're calling the bluff on all the other sheker in the world. That's the only way to get into Shabbos. Part of that sheker is to think that I did something this week. That what I did was impactful. That it was meaningful. Shabbos isn't soivel anything other than that MS.
I wonder if a litmus test to your emunah can be your desire to be uncomfortable in the yira. As we're talking to these different pieces, they seem to come back the same feeling of discomfort. It's I don't want to go into Shabbos and feel like I'm not good enough. I want to go into Shabbos and feel good. I don't want to come to Shul and have to like think about like the fact that like the niggun was great and I hung out with my friends. That like there's a sheker in my book. I don't. These are all things that are going to make me feel uncomfortable.
Think about it after that.
Right, but the idea though is what I'm hearing is that if you really want to test your emunah, I think this is a bigger metric than like will Hashem swoop in and save me? There's a lot of self-interest in Hashem swooping in and saving you, but there's no self-interest in every time I do something good, I have to go out and figure out a way to bring Yira into this. Like I'm keeping Shabbos. No one else is. Like look at the world. I can't walk into Shabbos like with my herring in the back, my new suit, and feel good. Like I can't. I have to like now go into my avoda and be like, wait, was I doing it for my friends? Or was I doing it for Hashem? The only, if we're willing to go into Shabbos and see the Mount Everest again and again and again and again, that to me is a bigger litmus test that one is a Baal Amuna than anything else. Because you have to constantly be willing to get out of the sheker of, I'm doing amazing. Like, look at, I'm doing amazing. This is great. To the world of, I'm not doing good at all. Like, every step I take just reveals 100 more things that I'm not. That's a very challenging way to live if you don't believe at the end of the day that the only thing I'm in this world for is to get to Hashem. And every time I feel like I'm not enough, that's the only thing that I can trust is getting to Hashem.
Right, absolutely. That's why the pre-avoda and the shas-avoda is not to be thinking about that so much. The post-avoda, there should be a zman, which is meyuchad for that, where a person doesn't have to question himself. He should say, I'm a nebuch. I did it for my friends, right. And I did it because of the niggun. What am I doing? I think that you could be hard on yourself for a little bit. That's fine. You know that you did, and the Boshu knows that you did. But that's okay. If you're moida la'emes, that it could be very sweet.
Yeah.
And you pick up again, you're going to be like, I'm going to do it better next time. And do it better next time. There's erosion from that. And again, beforehand, you have to be mechazik. I'm going to do it right. And you go in. You don't have to wonder. You could postle yourself. Nothing wrong with postling yourself. Just postle yourself. Be true to the Bnei Shalom. I did it because of my friends afterwards. Say it straight.
When it comes to tefillah, right? You step back from the measure. And you put a lot of effort. You feel like
Wait, Harry, hold on.
One second. You can't hear Chaim, but I'm gonna give him 1 second.
Yeah, you feel like you put in a good trimester, you had kavana this time. You feel like you accomplished it. So at what point is it best to say, okay, Hashem, this is what I was able to do today, you take it from here. When do you just the concept that I think what we're saying is you gotta just let it go at some point. Take yourself out of the situation.
I think what Rashi was saying is when you walk out of that trimester, right, you have to immediately apostle yourself.
That's a madriga though. That's a madriga. That's ideal. But like, if you feel like after davening, you have to wait till after that.
Such a smarty approach. It's such a smarty approach. I'm shocked.
He's like willing to
come out of it and get punched in the face every time.
I think that
there should be a moment.
It's a mature recognition that obviously it can't be all about us, right? It doesn't work. We know that. So it's actually a little bit empowering. It's, I guess, the catch 92, but it's empowering to say, no, Hashem, I did my best here. You take it from here. Yeah. That's all I could do, right?
No, that's not the Nakud event. No, I did my best. No, I did my best. I didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything.
Don't apologize for doing it, for doing too little. I didn't do anything. And I'm sorry that I thought that I did something. That's really what it
and
is.
And I'm sorry that I'm in my 40s and I can't even daven.
Right.
Like, where was I all my whole life? How come I'm sitting around and I'm playing around Lego? Like, I don't know. Like, when am I going to take this seriously? Like, I'm sorry that I am able to accept the pathetic thing that I spit out that only had 3 seconds of basic kavana, and before I'm thinking about my day, and then I'm thinking about what I'm eating, and then I think that that's valuable.
So this is obviously very hard by my drink.
No, the steps like this beforehand are as follows. You got to work really hard before davening.
Right.
You got to work really hard.
And it takes a lot.
But then afterwards, you it's very easy to disqualify yourself. It's the emes. It's the truth, right? You believe it's the truth. Torah says, Atam avad, inam avado. So you just have it to an emes, and you say, I apologize that I thought that I did anything just now. I just had no choice, and I'm on the madriga that I won't get up to do anything unless I think that I do something.
Right.
I'm not a Moshe Rabbeinu. For me, it's not a chok. I really think that when I pick up the sefer, I'm doing something. So if I didn't think that, I wouldn't do anything. That's, by the way, why you do vidui after Shmona Esrei. Why do you do vidui? Do vidui before. You have so many things to apologize about. No. After the Shmona Esrei, you're like, oh, I worked really hard. This is great. I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I went to the mikvah, and I learned, and I did the daf yomi, and I learned some Zohar today, and I did Tehillim, and I was so great. Oh, and I had a Shmona Esrei gewalt. Right? No. Shmona Esrei is overtaken. It's exact vidui. Oh my gosh. What did I think? How can I possibly have thought that I was doing, that I worked so hard today? That I'm taking the credit now? No, you have to apologize for that. You say, no, Hashem, you did everything. You're not apologizing for the avera you did this morning. You're apologizing for the work that you put into this morning, that you think that you actually... Oh.
Is Ben coming on? Is Ben on?
Yes, Ben is on.
If they get it back to the original question about being disciplined and everything, I think, you know, for me, maybe a lot of other people, we're able to take the time and focus on the tefillah and put more effort and try to dazzle a little bit more kavana. So, I think first you have to get there, and then...
But they complement each other. They complement each other.
Right. It's a...
This emes is very important, because if a person thinks constantly that he's putting in the work and that he's growing in his tefillah, and he looks back and he's like, I'm working really hard at davening, you're just going to be taking baby steps. At the end of the day, you need Hashem Siyata D'Shemaya. Siyata D'Shemaya comes from the emes. Like, when I have a real recognition that I may be working hard, but it's all a gift, everything accomplishes from you, you're tapping into the truth, which will give you Hatzlacha. So if you're going your whole life taking baby steps, so then you just walk from the beginning of the porch to the end of the porch. That's all you're going to go. But if you're making real, true recognitions at the end of everything what you're doing, which is like, it's all Siyata D'Shemaya, you know how far you can go with Siyata D'Shemaya? You can go, a person can accomplish it, tzaddik who understands the truth, in one davening, can go farther, in one davening, than a person who's taking baby steps his whole life, not realizing that his avoida and the hatzlach in his avoida is all Siyata D'Shemaya anyways.
This idea of passing yourself after feel like saying this, nothing tefillah, is this like only from your perspective or also from a Kodesh Baruch Hu's perspective? You say like, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't even like my tefillah, it was such a weak tefillah.
No,
Kodesh Baruch Hu loved your tefillah.
Yeah, he loves you and you worked hard, but what he loves more than anything is that you're moided to the emes. What do you want to say, Moshe? You still there?
I don't think he's there anymore.
He's there, okay, so Ben, so what do you want to say?
I wasn't trying to say anything. I think you were saying before, the idea that you work so hard on the Hachana of Shabbos, so hard, that you come to the realization, no matter how hard you work, it's never... If you really realize what Shabbos really is, the Mount Everest that it is, you can do all your Hachanas, you can prepare, you know, you don't even have to do the indoor thing, you can go outdoors to go over every mountain possible, and then you finally get to Shabbos and you realize, I didn't even touch the surface. I can't get anywhere. And then I go to the spirit and says, fine, let me take you.
That's right.
But you're right. Yeah, when you recognize that nothing you can do, and you give it all over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you give it all over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you can go to the greatest heights. Right? That's the point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the work is necessary beforehand, because if you don't work, then you're not giving anything over to him. I mean, it's just a concept. You have to work so hard to feel like you've done something, and then when after you work so hard you feel like you haven't done anything, you have something to give now. You have something to give now. You have something to throw at him. But if a person is just like, oh, it's just a musik to me, then you're pretending to be Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu became a person where he didn't have to work anymore to see the truth. He became Moshe Rabbeinu because he saw the truth. And this truth...
And the point is, for each person it's different. It doesn't have to be the same thing. So a person that avoda could be working on the greatest tune, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And then you finally come up with it, and you reach such a place, and you say, you know something? I did nothing. It wasn't me.
That's right. That's right.
That's the point. Every person, that idea of emuna is different. It doesn't have to be the same thing.
That's right. That's right. And it has to be different, because if we're going to copy somebody else, it's not going to be emistic. Whatever you feel is yours, and like you feel a yeshus about that this is something which I worked on. So whatever that is, doesn't have to be in the world of tefillah. It could be whatever person is investing his efforts in, and he has to. It's a chayk that he has to work, and it's a levush that he has to work. But when it all is said and done, if he holds on to that feeling, that's the ram levavecha v'shachachta Hashem Elokecha. You're forgetting the truth, and if you're missing that nekuda, then the whole chain of what you did is really lost. It's really lost, because the ikar nekuda in every mitzvah, every avodah which we do, is the humility before the Ribbono Shel Olam, because that humility is not just humility. It's a humility which is connected to that emes. It's to that truth. And that's the truth. We can't change that truth. And if we would try to change it, we would be foolish and it wouldn't be good for us. And even though we don't understand it, how it could be that when I confront that truth, it's good for me, because it looks like I'm taking myself out of the equation. How is it good for me? But no, there's something so great about this God, so great about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and in His loving kindness, that He wants to give us this complete, unadulterated truth, that if we have the humility and the emunah to hold on to that truth properly, then we don't know what to expect from that, but we know with the emunah that we have that it's going to be something which is going to be greater than any feeling of entitlement that could have come from the efforts which we put into it.
That was the problem with Karach, right?
The problem with Karach was that. That's, yeah. So, Vayikach Karach means that he, Chazal say, he took himself. Because the Torah doesn't say what he took. Vayikach Karach means that he wasn't willing to let go of himself. He didn't let go of himself. Meaning that there's an avodah which has to take place. The person has to let go of himself. And that's after the fact. If for tzaddikim like Moshe, before the fact. But that's why Yaakov said, I don't want my name mentioned here. It says, Vayikach Karach ben Yitzchak ben Chos ben Levi. Where's Yaakov? Yaakov is not mentioned because Yaakov is MS. And that MS, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give it to you, is what's called Titein MS Yaakov. Hashem has to give you that MS. It's not something which you can create. If you think that you have a hand in it, then it's not the MS of Yaakov. The MS of Yaakov is Titein MS Yaakov. And that's why in Davening we say the Pasuk Titein MS Yaakov. We say that every day in Shacharis. Where do we say that in Shacharis? It's in Uvalet Zion. You know why it's in Uvalet Zion? Because that darga of Titan Emes Yaakov, you're not masik that darga before Shemun Esrei. You're not masik that darga before Kriya Shema. There's a different type of an Emes which takes place before Shemun Esrei, before Kriya Shema. It's only after Kriya Shema and after Shemun Esrei that you experience that humility. Is there going to be a moment of Titan Emes Yaakov that Hashem gives you that Emes? And if you're vayikach kairach, if you're taking yourself, you're not willing to let go of yourself after the fact, then don't expect any titin emes liyakov. Because that emes, your emes, is going to contradict the Ribbono Shel Olam. That emes may have worked before davening, but it's not going to work after davening. Okay, it was really great to be back. Yeshe kairach. Shem zeche to the emes of Shabbos kairach. Amen, you too.
Shabbos.
A friend of mine.